It's now time for Sports Saturday.
Are you serious, really?
On 101.3, The Game.
I know football.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models and specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Vermont Engine Service, an engine and machine shop, 16 Krupp Drive in Williston. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining a mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering to a 10-mile radius of their Taft Corners, Williston location. This is Sports Saturday.
Yet another missed tackle.
Living the dream and taking you with us. 101.3, The Game.
Good morning, everybody. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. I'm Austin Danforth, your usual greeter here in this space, this time, this place. Jeff Paul, he's on assignment today with the Colchester Lakers. They just kicked off against the Mount Mansfield Cougars in a Division I girls soccer game. I believe that one's in Lakerland, although I may have just made the first error of the show right there. Either way, it's Lakers versus Cougars. And the giggle you heard right there was our friend Lauren Reed.
Hello.
Joining us today. Aaron Wells on the board. Had a little snafu with the mic there. Forgot to turn on the mic for the sports update, but we got past it.
We had a remote at Bijou Blue yesterday, so when that happens, I'm not allowed to have my mic in program, which means it doesn't go over the air.
Oh.
Because I got to be able to work my magic behind the scenes, and I completely forgot that that was the case.
Okay. But you realize pretty quickly, okay, hey, my voice isn't getting out there. It's just no one talking right now. So you got past it. We're past it. We're into the show. And we got a good show for you here. We got some sports to talk about.
There's like not a little bit going on.
Just a little bit. Just a wee bit.
Apparently we're going Scottish this morning,
it's where I took it. 10:20, next segment, we'll be talking to CVU football coach Ron Fleming. He's always a good chat, always a fun guy to talk to. Aaron, you know him well.
He's my guy. I love Ron.
I saw the text he sent Alex Abrami the other day about their game against Rice, and I was upbeat after reading the text.
Like
Mr. Positivity.
The emails he sent for his post-game wrap-ups, I mean, he's so thrilled by how this football season is going. And he's always this thrilled, even if it's not going this well. So you can imagine what it's like now that they're winning and they have an undefeated record. Like, he's just got to be through the roof.
Yeah. I mean, if someone's entertaining in the written word, and like, you just imagine how good they are, you know, face to face.
I've never met someone who's that positive all the time. And I've also never met someone who is that good at remembering everybody they've met. And like knowing anecdotes about you, remembering your name, being able to like recognize you in public, be like, hey, like I never was actually on his team because he was the JVB coach when I was there. But he still, every time he sees me, knows my name, greets me, with like share stories and stuff. It's insane.
Yeah, it's almost spooky when folks can do that. And you're like, wait, really?
Especially I can't remember people's names who I've known for years, and I'll be like, "Hey, yeah, you."
You have a good sense for detail too. Like,
I just can't
you retain
remember
a lot of stuff, but
names are not one of those details.
Yeah. So anyway, we're talking to Ron next segment at 11:00. We're going to be talking to Jake Orr, the coach of the Essex High School boys soccer team, hottest boys soccer team in the land. If you didn't know already, they improved to 4-0 last night. But most notably, a week ago today, they were the first team to beat CVU in more than 2 years. CVU had a 37-game unbeaten streak, and Jake Orr's Hornets, they went down to Hinesburg, got the job done, got an equalizer quickly after giving up the first goal, and then scored a late winner to stun the Redhawks. So we'll be talking to Jake at 11. We'll also be doing our NFL picks. Lauren's going to be sitting in for Jeff, doing his picks for him, which worked out quite well for Jeff last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently, I'm a prodigy. Who knew?
If I remember correctly, you went 9-6, which I think is better than he's done.
It was 9-6 or 10-5, which meant you would have made money if you were betting money. This is entertainment purposes only here. But yeah, so that's we get to this week is the proof if you're a savant or if that was a fluke in beginner's luck.
Yeah, I mean, either one is an option, really. Let's be serious.
But I'm gonna quiz you guys. I don't know where you want to go first. I mean, we got plenty of high school sports to talk about. There were golf championships last week. We have the news from the NESCAC, which is the Conference of Middlebury College and its rivals. They will not be doing winter sports this year, continuing what happened this fall with fall sports. But the weird coincidence with that, of course, that came out the same day that a lot of Vermont's colleges actually had like intra-squad scrimmages. So like I think UVM, I saw men's soccer had their green and gold game where they played each other. I think Castleton did the same thing. So like it's kind of weird to be making a step forward and already hearing, you know, we're going to be making a step back. We got national sports. If you want to talk national sports, we got Miami. They were ousted by the Miami Marlins.
Oh, sorry. Too many Miami.
We got a lot of Miamis going on. I was just thinking about baseball first because Jeff is here to not stick up for either of his teams. He's hyped very hard. Of course, the Yankees, they lost to Tampa Bay Rays last night, game 5, 2-1. Aroldis Chapman gave up the late home run to Mike Brasso that turned that game for the Rays. And then the Marlins, they flamed out of the postseason as well. Jeff had been hyping them. He's not here to stick up for either of them. He's busy coaching soccer. Yeah, it is convenient, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Those 10 a.m. Saturday soccer games.
Yeah, it is
random.
And we're not done with this list yet. We've also got NBA basketball. Miami extended the series against the L.A. Lakers. They're going to game 6 after last night's win. Jimmy Butler is playing out of his mind.
Also playing a ton of minutes.
Well, now's the time to do it.
Yeah.
Miami essentially went like 7 players last night. They barely used their bench, as far as I remember.
If it works.
It was late, so I don't remember a ton.
They had, 4 players over 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Those guys are going to be tired today, I think. I think they're going to be going for some R&R. We also have NFL to talk about. We're going to be, of course, making our picks next hour. But big news there, Aaron, with the Patriots. They aren't playing till Monday, as you mentioned. And they really won't be practicing much before this game.
Yeah, I think the facility is opening up today. And Stephon Gilmore and Cam Newton will not be practicing.
Cool. Two best players, both sides of the ball.
Yep.
Not going to be there.
Going into the situation with Stedman or Hoyer, neither of whom are going to get any reps. Do you go with Hoyer, who had a pretty awful game last week, or do you go with Stedman?
Stidham. Yeah.
Hey, Giants fan. but who's going to get no reps, essentially, as a second year technically quarterback? Like, I mean, that's a tough call for either of those quarterbacks.
Well, let's go there right now, because I talked with Rich on the huddle earlier this week about the Chiefs game from Monday night. At halftime, you're thinking, wow, okay, we're not. It kind of felt like the Seahawks game, at least the takeaway at the end of the Seahawks game, like, okay, we're right there. Like, we're right there. I tuned in when it was 6-3. I hadn't been able to catch the first half. Didn't realize that Hoyer had left points on the board.
Yeah.
Like, awfully.
Really, Michael. Badly.
Woof.
Yep.
And then I watch him do it again in the third quarter, and that was frustrating enough. But then to, like, at that point, learn that he had done it twice. I don't know whether to call that, like, bad play or, like, just bad situational play.
It's interesting because the way I've heard it put is that he's at the point in his career where his mental game should be past his physical game.
Right.
So to see him make mental mistakes is frustrating. But at the same time, he didn't get any first team reps. He didn't know he was going to be the starter until late in the week. He's playing the best team in the AFC. Like, that, all that stuff gets in your head. So the question for this week is, do you trust Hoyer to be a game manager? And is that what you want against Denver? Or do you want to go with Stidham, who has, in his playing time, albeit limited playing time, taken more shots and been a little more aggressive, but makes young guy mistakes?
Yeah, so like when you watch the way that game turned out, I thought that like in the same time that Hoyer played well, he played dumb.
Yep.
And at the same time, Stidham made some good things happen, didn't play so. I mean, he played like a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't know where you go there. What would you do?
As a, having no skin in the game on this one, except for that I'm a Giants fan and would love to see the Patriots lose every game ever, I honestly don't know. I mean, I kind of look at it with the opponent a little bit. I mean, the Broncos are really bad. as far as I understand, and they're very, very young. So maybe this is an opportunity to throw Stidham out there and see what he's got. Because at this point, if Newton continues to either say he gets hurt later in the season, you have to do this all over again. You need to know what you have
right.
with Stidham. Because if Hoyer's what you have and he's going to continue to make those dumb mistakes and cost you games, he's not a reliable second backup quarterback. Like, you need to know if Stidham is available to step into that role, because if he's not, then maybe you need to start looking at what's out there and
right.
signing somebody to the practice squad to see if they can make a push. So personally, as a fan of a team who has an exceedingly young quarterback who they're tossing out there and is making rookie mistakes now that he's in his, what, third year? Yeah. It's frustrating to watch. So it would probably not be very fun for Patriots fans, but I think at some point you have to see what Stidham can bring you, and you have to give him a chance. And maybe in a weird week against a team that's not very good, you toss him out there and see what he can give you. If he's really bad in the first half, then you give Hoyer the second half and have him manage the game to the win.
I kind of like that idea. That's very reasoned and measured, and
I didn't even insult the Patriots.
No, that's I'm maybe more alarmed by that than anything. So I'll take that to the bank.
So for me, it kind of comes down to the Patriots' long term plans, because if their intention is to try and sign Cam after this year and get a few more years out of him, then they don't necessarily need to know whether or not Stidham's going to be that guy. So they could go with the game manager against a team that may not have their starting quarterback and is the kind of team offensively that you can game manage against and win the game. Against Kansas City, it was like they could score 21 at any moment all of a sudden.
And they did. So,
yeah.
Per usual.
But the Broncos are already a team that relies on the run a good amount. They've got a good backfield. And they may not have Drew Lock. He's been practicing this week, but it's not clear whether or not he'll be the starter from what I've read. So do you go with Hoyer and hope that he's with first team reps is going to be more comfortable? Or do you go with, if you go with Stidham, you're going to get more aggressive play, which personally I want. I would personally pick Stidham, especially after that throw to N'Keal Harry. I just sat there in awe. After that throw,
that's why they drafted him.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I'm trending towards, I'm somewhere between Lauren and Aaron here. But if you have any thoughts on the situation or anything else we've talked about so far or we'll talk about later, you can call in 802-655-6672 or text the same number, the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672 with your thoughts. Before we get out here, Aaron, we got a Green City Garage poll question here yet?
Yep, so the Green City Garage poll question, Green City Garage, 49B Commerce Ave in South Burlington. I go there for all of my car needs. They are a eco-friendly garage, and the owner, Chris Wallace, is a great guy. Really, really easy to work with. The question for this week, will we see Vermont High School basketball in the winter, yes or no?
Mm. That info, of course, that question coming out of this week's sharing from state officials that it's still in the process of considering what can happen and what can't. They're already trending towards providing the answer no for folks asking if there will be wrestling or indoor track. It seems like basketball and hockey are different, and they're still considering options there, seeing what might be possible. But I don't really know how to answer that yet.
I feel like it's one of those things that it's a COVID thing where we just don't know until we know, which is a stupid answer, but also kind of how the year has gone.
I'm not optimistic, but anyway, if you want to weigh in on that topic, you can do so at 101.3 The Game on Twitter. And Lauren, I think before we get out of this segment, you were talking some Bruins earlier.
Yep.
And a couple personnel tidbits there from this week.
So NHL free agency opened on, was it Thursday night? Or I think it was Thursday. So, and the Bruins have made some moves in that they haven't made some moves. They re-signed Kevin Miller from UVM.
Okay.
He's back after missing about 18 months with injury issues. So he'll be back on the team next year. Hopefully he doesn't get hurt again. They have let Torrey Krug walk. Torrey Krug signed with the St. Louis Blues late yesterday. For 7 years and $45 million, I think.
Okay. Have fun in the Midwest, Torrey Krug.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of funny. He went to the team that they lost the cup to 2 years ago.
Mm.
But great deal for him. And that is kind of it for their moves at the moment. There's talks that they're in on the Taylor Hall talks. So he's a free agent, and he's apparently thinking of taking a short-term deal to go to a winning team. The Bruins are in on those talks. There's some rumors swirling around Tuukka Rask.
What are those?
So Tuukka, there might be some trade talk. He's only got 1 year left in his deal. He's the most, I think, the most expensive player on the team, if not the second most. So he's $8 million a year. So they need some room for some cap movement. And after kind of bailing on the team in the bubble, there's some rumors that they're not totally confident in his commitment to the team. So there's talks that he may be traded. He does not want to be traded. He made that clear in an interview earlier this week. So there's definitely more to come on the Bruins. There's rumors that they've got a lot of fingers in the pot, but nothing too crazy has come out
Fingers in the pot, irons in the fire?
Whatever metaphor we're using this morning. But yeah, they've got a lot of stuff going on, but they haven't pulled any real major triggers yet, but probably keep an eye on them in the next couple of days.
Do you want Tuukka back?
I have no issues with Tuukka. I mean, the bubble thing wasn't great, but I mean, it was a super weird year. His daughter apparently ended up having to go to the hospital, so he left. I mean, it's fine. He's a Vezina Trophy winning goaltender. You're not going to find those just sitting around to replace him. So, I mean, unless they can get somebody who I feel is comparable, maybe he's not as good, but a little less good and cheaper, then fine. But I don't know that that's out there, so I would stick with Tuukka personally.
And last Bruins question I have, is old man Chara still in the cards?
He is technically a free agent.
Okay.
Both teams have expressed that they want him back. He hasn't signed yet.
Which is the other team?
Both teams, as in the Chara's team and the Bruins team, have said they want him back. But I think it sounds like the Bruins are waiting to see how the rest of free agency shakes out for them to see what they've got left for money.
There probably isn't a really big market for a 44-year-old 6'9" defenseman.
Well, that was the big thing yesterday that was a bit surprising. Apparently he did take more than a few calls from teams who were interested in his services. It's going to be for probably $1 million a year, which for him is very cheap.
Right.
So it's a matter of, does he just want to wait out the Bruins and take whatever they can offer him, or does he want to go somewhere else?
Okay.
My leaning is that he's just waiting for the Bruins to shake out their free agency and he'll resign. I don't think he wants to leave Boston. So.
Okay. All right. Well,
that's my expertise.
Okay. Thank you very much. And that does it for the first segment here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we'll be talking to CVU football coach Ron Fleming. So don't go anywhere.
The high school coach and the high school reporter who comments on that coach. How do they do a show together? It's Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Austin Danforth on 101.3 The Game.
Okay, everybody else in here is laughing right now, and I kind of missed it, but I kind of think I know what it is. Which is the perfect mindset to have to talk some Vermont High School football with CVU football coach Ron Fleming, who's joining us now on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. And Ron, of course, is the coach of the 4-0 CVU Redhawks. Ron, I got to think you're pretty happy today.
I am enjoying the ride, I'll tell you that. I'm also enjoying the laughter in the background. And it's like football. I kind of miss it, but I kind of think I remember what it is.
Well, so I'm looking at the results this year, Ron, and one point win, 10-point win, 23-point win. So you guys are trending in the right direction, and really sort of dramatically so. But I'm curious, by the results, it looks like your team's really taken to what they can do this season, and appears to be having a good time. And I'm curious what your take on it is.
Well, we are 100% in agreement, Austin. We, from the very get, I'm kind of a fan of Phil Jackson's, and he's a big be here now guy. And it's like our options at the start of the season were, we don't get to play football, or we get to play this. So we decided collectively, coaching staff and team alike, this is what real football looks like in the state of Vermont in the year 2020. And we got after it in exactly that spirit. And they have sustained that throughout. And I'm ridiculously fortunate in that, you know, there are some schools whose premier athletes went, that's not football, I'm not going to do it. nobody left. We have 41 guys on our varsity roster. We have 37 guys and one gal on our junior varsity roster. Our program continues to grow, and I think it's a testimony to what you said, the spirit of fun and achievement that our coaches bring to it.
Well, and Ron, you mentioned when I talked to you right before the season started that you were excited to kind of learn some things about your players that you wouldn't necessarily have gotten to learn if you weren't in this format. And one of those you pointed out was Isaac Bergeron and finding out that he can throw and he's a quarterback in some ways. And he has come through for you so far this season. So what's that been like for Bergeron and the linebackers in the offset quarters situation? And has there been any other kind of cool revelations about players that you've seen as the season has progressed?
Many, many such. And every one of them brings a smile. Also, Lauren, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Well, thank you for packing so many of our players' names into such a short space in the last pieces you wrote for us.
Oh, you're welcome.
You know, that matters. That means something to them. It means a lot to their families. Those are things they're going to clip out and put in scrapbooks and look back on when they're in their, 50s and 60s like I am now. As far as Bergie goes, everybody who played Backyard Football League knew who he was. We only knew him as an offensive guard and a linebacker, a defensive end. We put him at the end this year. So then you watch him toss a ball, and it goes 40 or 50 yards. It goes into his receiver's hands on a dime. The spiral's tight, and you just look at each other and go, what was that? And then we start, and because of the format of the game, the first and the third quarters are competitive, genuine football between two competitive teams, except it's the bigs on the ball field. So what a find. What a find Bergie is. And he carries himself with a kind of poise and determination that just instills confidence in the kids that are on the ball field with him. So he's a total package. The rest of your question, a couple of examples just from our last game. We got a big old boy. His name is Thomas Lyons. He's a senior. He played ball for me his freshman year. I was a JV coach for 15 years here. And then he went away from it. He had a business, and he ran it, and he had fun. He made a ton of money, and that's some honest American dollars. Senior year, he decides he wants to come back, and then COVID hits. Now, Thomas, are you going to stay or not? He opts to stay because these are his friends. These are the guys with whom he feels community. We had him in at linebacker at Rice. Now, mind you, he's about 6'4 or 5, weighs about 300 pounds. And we had him at free safety initially, and then mobility kind of became a thing, so we moved him down to inside backer. Thomas takes his pass drop, gets right in the passing lane, puts his hands up in the air, bam, picks the ball right out of the sky. First interception of his lifetime, and that happened because of this format of football. Similarly, we have a kid named Ryan. We call him Mookie because the T-shirt he wore once. Ryan Wetmore, 300-pound free safety. Again, we moved him down to linebacker. But he got to play free safety for a rep or three, and the smile on his face in doing it was just off the chart. On offense, he got to catch his first pass reception, lifetime. Another converted lineman, Adam Rutherford. He's running T for us. He's in the backfield. He runs a little wheel route out to the right. Gets in the end zone, ball comes into his hand, first touchdown, maybe only touchdown, lifetime, because he's also a senior. This might be his last year of organized ball. Those are the gifts that by virtue of working so hard together, by virtue of investing all of the energy and the insistence on precision, even though it's brand new to these guys, that our coaching staff brings to every practice. Those are the gifts they get to walk away from the ball field with. At the end of the day, that memory is now theirs for their lifetime. That makes me happy in my heart.
How wild is it that, like, every game you're having all these firsts? And I'm kind of curious, is everybody aware of it? Is this something you bring back, like you harp on when you guys talk, either debrief post game or before the next practice or whatever? I mean, like, For all these guys to do things for the first time and feel validated for their work, that's pretty special.
Yeah, it's joyful, and I love the concept of harping on joy. I wish more people knew how to do that. We make a point of recognizing accomplishment, and especially new accomplishment, especially novel accomplishment, like I just described to you for those three guys. By the same token, you know, we have number 81 on our bigs team, Will Murphy, 220-pound state champion wrestler last year. Wrestling doesn't get to happen this season. This is kind of his jam for the first part of his senior year. He was a quarterback for years, and a good one. We needed him with his size and acuity, just his mental acuity on the ball field, and his big old soft hands. We needed him at wide receiver. His answer was, what can I do for this team? Absolutely, I'm going to go do that. And he had, particularly the first quarter, because he does play with our bigs, at Rice, just an extraordinary quarter. Caught, I don't know, half a dozen passes in the quarter. Two of them were for touchdowns. He had an interception at free safety. And so we also want to recognize and acknowledge the growth and development of the guys who do this all the time, and this is their only chance to do it now, too. So, you know, Will Murphy, a Match DeStito at quarterback, a Jake Bowen, who had a painful game at home a game or two ago, and then came back and just found his groove, reclaimed his center, led the offense, threw for two or three touchdowns at Rice. Those are the things. You recognize that in everyone as best you can. And the nice thing, again, I'm going to go back to my staff, everybody's watching for that every game. Everybody. And the players are watching for that. I went out of my way to mention Lyons at the end of practice yesterday, big old Thomas Lyons that got the interception. And the team said, Coach, we've already been in touch with him on team chat. You know, we're all over that. And so the guys are enjoying what they're doing, enjoying what each other are doing. But we're not getting the butt heads, and practice looks very different than it used to. Nobody butts heads anymore, let's be clear. No helmet-to-helmet contact. That's the 1970s speaking in me there. <for a moment. laughs> But what we're doing together. And the kids get to share that endeavor and that accomplishment that comes with paying attention in practice, coming to believe that what Coach said makes sense, experiencing that it works for me, having the confidence to try it in a game, and now we're better than we were a day ago, 2 days ago, 3 days ago. It's a little bit bumper stickery, but one of the things we yell together after practices and games is always proud, never satisfied. And so that's a long answer to a short question, my man. I apologize.
That's okay. From what I've seen of some teams, I've probably seen six or seven, eight teams so far this year, and some seem like they're moving forward positively. Some seem like they're kind of in limbo. Some kind of seem to be carrying themselves like this might be a lost year. It sounds like you guys are, if anything, building momentum to bridge from what you did last year and where you're going in the future.
I think so. I think part of it, in the moment, in the right now, is our guys are dedicated to giving our seniors the best season we possibly can. By the same token, nobody has forgotten that next year is going to happen. It's not going to be 7-on-7 touch football, you know, for the rest of football history in Vermont. And so, for example, we take 15 minutes per practice and dedicate it on defense to run fits and linebacker responsibilities and defensive back responsibilities against the run. We take 15 minutes and dedicate it to O-line techniques and responsibilities and how we run our running game. We don't want those nerve centers in our players to go dead because we left them sit for a year. We don't want their memory of the run game to be 2 years old. So we go ahead and focus on that, too.
Well, and Ron, I guess last question. You guys have BFA St. Albans later today. It's yep. Definitely a different prep than usual because with the tough BFA St. Albans and not being able to run this year. But focusing on for the game?
What are we focusing on for the game?
Yep.
I just want to make sure I heard the question. It is. Here's the deal. There's the pace of this season is such that we barely have time to look at our own film and learn from it. And there is no film exchange from team to team. And so our focus for this game is the same as our focus has been for every game. Get your reps, listen to your coaches, get better at what we run. We're not running some unique 7-on-7 passing league defense. We're running our defensive schemes. We're not developing some unique 7-on-7, you know, passing strategy. We're running our passes, and let's get good at those. And we'll take our best, and we'll put it on a ball field, and we'll see what they brought for their best when they put it on the ball field. And at the end of the game, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. The W and the L, it's a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. It's been a long time since anybody's been able to say CVU is 4-0 in any format. But the point is that you went out there better today than you were last week, and I know in your heart that you know that you gave us your best. You gave it to your teammates. You gave it to your coaches. You gave it to your proud parents in the stands. And then we'll see what the scoreboard says at the end of the day.
Awesome. Well, Ron, we appreciate you coming on today, and good luck this afternoon against the Bob Whites.
Thank you very much. Going to go do what we're going to get after it the way we do.
Good luck.
Expect nothing less. Take That's care. Ron Fleming, CVU football coach. Yeah, every time you talk to Ron, you get positivity and perspective and motivation in the same package, and that's really cool.
He's the kind of coach who could motivate any player to try and run through a wall.
Yeah, he just seems like he is one of those guys that, like, hit the way he presents stuff. Whether you got a kid that needs a kick in the butt or a kid that needs a pat on the shoulder, it seems like he could do both in the same breath, and that's a special thing for the Red Hawks as they're trying to really establish themselves as one of the premier football teams in Vermont. Ben fits and starts there since they've been a D1 program, but seems like they got the right guy to get them to that next level. So.
Well, yeah, and speaking of rattling off names of kids who've done great things, I mean, how many did he give us?
Like 10 minutes? At least a dozen. So we apologize to the starters whose names weren't mentioned. But anyway, when we come back, as we teased at the top of the show, there's a lot of sports for this Sports Saturday, so don't go anywhere.
Bringing you another day closer to game day. It's Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Austin Danforth on 101.3 The Game.
Aaron Wells scrambling masterfully on the other side of the glass. We got a call right before we were supposed to come back on, and he's looking at the board and he's holding the phone.
This is great.
And he knows he needs to tap the mic buttons to turn on the mic for Lauren and I, and he does so deftly. Another completion for our QB out there. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. I'm Austin Danforth. I'm joined with Lauren Reed today, Jeff Paul. Your usual pilot here, he's on assignment with the Lakers. I think it's halftime with his Lakers and the Cougars of Mount Mansfield. We may hear from Jeff after the game if that doesn't go to overtime. But
now it will. Now know that it will.
Jeff and I have already addressed this eventuality last night when I talked to him. So we'll deal with that when we get there. But yeah, we just got done talking with Ron Fleming, the CVU football coach. Always a fun conversation with Ron. We'll be talking to Essex boys soccer coach Jake Orr at the top of the hour. Essex, of course, 4-0, hottest team in the land right now. They are doing some good things. And elsewhere in high school sports, Lauren?
Yes. Just a little bit going on in high school sports as they plow through the season.
We've already knocked out two championships last week. You had the CVU, another CVU team.
Another CVU golf championship.
Boys golf team. They got it done third time in a row in the rain at Barrie. Really impressive stuff there from them. You had co-medalists that day in Division I and Division II. Three players had a 74. Stratton's, Harrison, DeGangi in Division II. And then in Division I, you had North Country's Austin Giroux and St. J's Nelson Eaton. That 74 is a really good number in the rain.
Yeah.
It was cold. It was breezy at Barrie. I was out there. My rain gear was getting a workout. But also, day before that, you had girls' golf championships up at Champlain Country Club in Swanton. Burton, last team out in Division One, they got it done, came in with the lowest score. They went back to Manchester with the championship. And then Lake Region, they got it done for the third year in a row in Division Two girls golf. So plenty to talk about this week. But I think we wanted to get into some, dig a little deeper here with what's going on with COVID in the NFL. And that we're now hitting the part of the season which made me want to kind of not have a season where you don't know. Like, and this is why I didn't start my fantasy league that I run for my friends. This is why I know a lot of people didn't get involved in fantasy this year. It, like, you just, like, it's there is no stability. You don't know what you're going to get week to week. It makes, like, trying to draft people not knowing. I mean, granted, injuries are one thing, but look, we're talking about wholesale, you know, disruptions for guys that aren't injured, and that's going to affect their productivity. And not only that, like, I mean,
schedules
a mess. Now we got like multiple games on Mondays. They're talking about Tuesday games. You got teams that are doing things right that are thrown off by teams that aren't. You have entire, like, I mean, we're talking the Patriots earlier. You know, their two best players currently, like, are dealing with the coronavirus. It doesn't seem like they were maybe doing everything they should. But on top of that, like, that's costing the other guys who have to go out and play this game coming up on Monday against the Broncos. They don't have, they're not able to practice. And there's a whole lot that goes into this, and none of it's good. And I don't know, Aaron, what do you like?
So it's interesting because you're starting to see the NFL tighten up a little bit. They've put out that there will now be a penalty for coaches not wearing their masks properly during games. Hopefully we'll see some changes to the rules around post-game meetings between the teams, because as we saw last week, Stephon Gilmore, you know, gives Patrick Mahomes like a hug sort of thing, and then we find out a couple days later that he has COVID-19. Now there's a chance the best quarterback in the NFL may be at risk or may have had it or may have it or something, being asymptomatic. It's hard to tell. The Bills have to play a Tuesday game this week because the Titans had positive tests on Friday. And I believe the Bills have a Thursday game coming up as well. So their schedule is all messed up.
Well, and technically Tennessee is not out of the woods. Like, they're saying that they're going to play this game, and Tennessee is still getting positive tests. Like, if I were the Bills players, I'd be like, why would I want to step on the field with them? There is a definite chance that somebody on that field is going to have COVID.
Right.
Like, but I have had a lot of issues after watching both the NBA and the NHL pull off very, very successful bubble seasons. The MLB really struggle with the not just toss it out there and see what happens. I've got a lot of issues with the way that the NFL went into this season, because we saw what worked and what didn't, and they had the most amount of time to figure this out, and they just didn't do anything. They just like, well, we're just going to do it and figure it and see what happens, and it's already a mess, and we're only in week five. Like,
yeah.
Just.
Yeah, and it's too late now.
Yeah, they just got to keep going, but it's got to be frustrating as fans of the Bills to watch what's going on, and their team is finally in a position where at the top of the AFC, and now their team's getting kind of screwed over by things that are completely out of their control, and while they've been doing the right thing, just got to be frustrating to watch.
Yeah, and like when Aaron talked about like what happened, what's going on after games where guys are going up and giving each other hugs and, you know, high fives or fist bumps, or I mean, as they would normally. I'm watching it from the sidelines here in Vermont, where like they would do the same thing. We're talking about teams that, you know, like kids play on the same club teams with each other or their friends outside of their sport. And it's awkward, but like, it's not that crazy to just, you know, teams huddle up, they salute the other team and you're done. As nice as good sportsmanship is, and the expression of that with a post-game handshake, hugs, all that stuff, like, now isn't the time for it. It's just not.
I know I've been to some volleyball games this year because my sister's on the CVU varsity volleyball team, and they went from high fives under the net to verbal acknowledgments from the 10-foot line, like that. I mean, you don't have to make physical contact with someone to acknowledge that there was good sportsmanship and it was a good game.
Like, I've played golf with my dad less this year than I ever have before because of, you know, COVID-related stuff. But, like, the times we have played, it's not the normal handshake and hug.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I think I might have given my dad two fist bumps. Like, and like, it's just like, just have to keep that. Like, there's no guarantee otherwise. You got to play it safe. And so to have, you know, the NFL, a multi-billion dollar industry, you know, these guys have resources. They can do it. Granted, I'm sure the bubble stuff isn't fun. I know,
no.
Like,
both NBA and NHL players said it's not fun at all, and it actually sucks. But they did it because it was the best way to do it, and everyone be safe.
And they're getting paid, and they're doing their thing. I mean, they do it to a degree during World Cups in soccer, where teams will set up their spot. They'll post up at the same hotel. Usually, in a lot of cases, it's closed off from other people. Their families aren't there. It's just the team, and that's what you sign up for. And that you could be there doing it for 5-6 weeks.
And the NFL is the league with the greatest risk to spread because they have 53-man rosters and it's full contact. I mean, that's at minimum, you've got 44 starters on each side. That's 88 people making contact with other people. And then you've got staff and everybody else. And a lot of coaches are older and,
yeah,
and at risk. Like, it's really not the league to be messing around with this. And they've done the least outside of maybe baseball to prevent health problems.
And I'm not sure what folks out there think about it, but whatever they're feeling, I mean, you can chime in 802-655-6672 or text the same number, 802-655-6672, with, you know, what, how you feel about this. Do we have anything coming in on the text line right now, Aaron? Or
we don't currently.
Okay.
I've heard on the station earlier today some talk about the idea of forfeits. We'll get into a specific example of that in Hot or Not, but in general, is that something you think the NFL can make work?
That's tough, right?
I think I'd prefer to see them push the regular season out, because they still seem to be stuck on getting these in the 16-week time frame.
Yeah.
But there's nothing going on in the middle of the winter. Why can't just push it out to a 17 or week 18 and kind of extend the season a bit to avoid some of these scheduling issues that are already coming? It's not like you have to play the Super Bowl on this day. At this point, I mean, push it out a couple weeks and get these games in correctly, because I really don't want to see a situation where you have some teams have played 16 games, but some teams have played 13 games. So we're going to use the winning percentage to decide if they get in the playoffs or not. And that just turns into a whole competitive angle mess. And like,
are we going to start using QPR points here like they do in Vermont high school football? Are we going to have VPA standings points?
They've already mentioned that if it comes down to it, that they would use winning percentage to decide things, because it already is looking like, especially in the AFC with the Tennessee Titans issue, that there might be some teams that have less games.
And I don't like that on its face, because it gives, you know, Doug Peterson an out for going for the tie a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like that, which was so lame. Like, but it could be incredibly clever. You know, if you're looking at a season where a tie literally doesn't hurt you, but a loss does. But like, Lauren, what you were saying about why do we have to be done in 17 weeks? That doesn't make any sense. Like, what, because we need to have the Super Bowl on X day, so the fans that can't go there can't go there. Like, nobody's going to be at that game anyway in February.
Right.
Like, why are we worried about people that have tickets that in advance, like, that they can black out that date on their calendar?
Not to mention, like, if you make the call now, what do you have, like, 4 months to make the changes to get a hold of the
right
the ticket? Like, even if you push, had fans, like, oh, darn.
Push the Super Bowl back to March 1. Like, you're just chewing into downtime anyway. So at the end of the day, all that downtime, whether it's during the season while guys recuperate and stay healthy or don't get sick or whatever, you're just pushing that out. Like, there's downtime regardless. It's just about when you have it. And if it's in the season, you don't have to run every season like this. They never will, but just do it. They have the benefit of time and they're not taking advantage of it.
And in theory, you could offset maybe the physical health disadvantages of a shorter off season with a less aggressive regular season schedule.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, maybe they get a month less to rest during the offseason, but they also
had that month during the season.
Correct.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I was trying to say, and you said it so much better. but yeah, so it just doesn't seem like the NFL is going to get any clearer or simpler or streamlined. Like, it's just, it's not going to get better from here, I don't think, at any point soon.
The longer they put this off, the messier it gets.
Yeah, and I guess what I've taken out of it a little bit, too, is I'm actually more impressed by what the NBA and the NHL were able to pull off. One, they had to do it on the fly really quickly because they had seasons that were already in progress, and they pulled it off successfully. They've had absolutely no issues on either side. It's just the ownership groups in both of those managed to figure it out a lot easier than the ownership group and the league that had all of this time to work on it and didn't come up with anything. It's very annoying and frustrating to watch as a fan.
And it makes the task of picking these games against the spread pretty absurd. But we're going to try that anyway next hour. When we come back, it's going to be time for Out in Left Field. And after that, we'll have a chat with Essex Boys soccer coach Jake Orr here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. So don't go anywhere.
You're about to hear some weird shit. This is Out in Left Field on 101.3 The Game.
Oh, the spooky tunes, Lauren.
Spooky.
It's spooky time here on 101.3 The Game Sports Saturday. Aaron,
this is kind
what's out in left field today?
This is kind of a fun one. Danbury, Connecticut will rename their sewage plant after comedian John Oliver. So,
I feel like I heard about this.
John Oliver has a thing going with the city of Danbury. So, yeah, what do we got?
Every time residents of Danbury, Connecticut flush, they'll be sending their special deliveries to the John Oliver Memorial Sewer Plant. The city council voted 18-1 Thursday night to rename the sewage plant after the comedian who began a tongue-in-cheek battle with Danbury when he went on an expletive-filled rant against the city on HBO's Last Week Tonight with John Oliver in August. Mayor Mark Botten didn't waste any time responding on social media. He posted a video of himself at the sewage plant saying the city was going to name it after Oliver. Why? The Republican mayor asked. Because it's full of crap, just like you, John.
It's an interesting way to think of John Oliver.
Oliver upped the stakes on his August 30th show by offering to donate $55,000 to local charities if Danbury actually followed through with renaming the plant.
Yeah,
that seems like a win-win.
People need to stop getting into beefs with John Oliver because he leans in and he has no he doesn't care.
Well,
anyway, sorry.
The city's actually very excited. He says, the mayor said, I think it's been a home run. It's been a lot of fun. If I can put food on people's table for Thanksgiving by naming a sewer plant after a very popular comedian, we'll do that all day long.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Genius.
What does it get into what Oliver said to anger the city, or what the city did to get his attention?
No one's really sure, from what I've read, why Oliver singled out Danbury, but this is why Danbury's mad. Oliver said, I know exactly three things about Danbury. USA Today ranked it the second best city to live in 2015. It was once the center of the American hat industry, and if you're from there, you have a standing invite to come get a thrashing from John Oliver. Children included, bleep you. I don't know. Maybe he went to Danbury one time and had a bad time. I don't know.
I'll need to dig into this more off
maybe
air.
Maybe I'll have to go watch this episode of Last Week Tonight.
I think so. Well, so like I know from covering Mount Anthony Wrestling for a few years, they have a rivalry with Danbury High School, mm-hmm. who are the, I think they're the Mad Hatters. They're one of the other New England powerhouse wrestling
Speaking
programs.
Of the center of the hat industry.
Yep. And obviously, little... That's well coordinated there with the high school mascot and the town's industry. John Oliver. He had a thing going with the former prime minister of New Zealand for a while, and it just didn't go. It didn't go well for the former prime minister. It's
evidently not because he's the former prime minister.
It's. John Oliver, I like his show. That's funny stuff. And if he's donating to charities there in town, that's like you said, it's a win for everybody.
I thought this was pretty wholesome because at first it sounds like maybe it's an issue. Like I know Tom Segura has a beef with all of Louisiana, and that's a little bit less nice.
Yeah, that's all of Louisiana. There's that encompasses quite a lot.
Yeah, but this ended with potentially people being fed by a TV beef.
Yeah.
That's the best way for a TV beef to end, really.
I think so.
Hats off to Danbury and John Oliver.
Right
on. Keep beefing, boys.
Go, guys. Okay. We got an interview to do here after this, so let's get to it.
Now, back to Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. I'm Austin Danforth. It's hour two, and I'm surprised, Lauren and Reed, that they are still ranking football teams.
Yep.
That seems like a such an antiquated, irrelevant thing right now.
Yep.
with so few college football teams playing,
and
to what end are they playing?
And sick. It's dumb. Anyway. I don't watch college football, so I actually can't say that at all.
Well, when you don't have certain conferences playing, not everybody's doing we're ranking teams. Why? I'm just
yep.
That was very jarring to hear during Aaron's sports update. But yeah, where do we even go?
College football, in a general sense, just seems, after watching the schools up here shut down their fall seasons, it just seems weird to me.
Right.
That there's actually college sports happening right now.
Right.
Like, and it doesn't.
As we talked about at the top of the show, I mean, smaller schools, NESCAC schools, they announced this week that they're not going to be playing anything, not only this fall, but they're not going to host any competition in the winter. They're holding out hope for spring if they can start that, you know, if kids can get back on campus in February, but they don't know yet. But what we do know right now is we have Essex High School boys soccer coach Jake Orr on the line. The Hornets, they are flying at 4-0. And Jake, does this success, does this have you surprised at all, or just happy to see how it's going?
Well, first off, I appreciate you having me on. I've never been on the radio before, so this is a new one for me.
Welcome.
I wouldn't say we're incredibly surprised so far. I think it's a pretty competitive year, so you look at your schedule and you kind of know you're going to be playing a ton of these one-goal, hard-fought games. And so far, our team's, you know, been able to finish off games at the end or make those one or two key plays at the key time to be able to, you know, be sitting at 4-0, which is we're feeling pretty good with where we are, especially considering the schedule we've played and some of the, you know, we've had some nice wins over some good teams that are having success in their other games so far.
What year is this for you now, Jake? Is this your sixth year in charge of the team you used to play for?
Yeah, I believe it's my sixth year as the varsity coach, and I spent a few years coaching the freshman and JV teams in the program before that.
Sorry, that just made me feel a little old. I remember when you became the coach. So, oh my God. Okay.
Snapped
out of it.
In those 6 years, Jake, I mean, you've had some good teams. You guys have been competitive every year, and like you've gone through cycles of graduation and reloading and you know, bringing guys up through the program. What have you picked up from your first 5 years that you've, you know, employed or done differently with this group so far?
Yeah, I'm lucky to coach at Essex. It's a really fun school to coach at in that we typically have pretty good numbers show up for soccer, so it's competitive to begin with, and you have a lot of you know, there are a lot of players who, before I ever say hello to them, are already very talented. So, you know, it's not really something I can sit here and take full credit for. With a lot of these guys come in very prepared to play, even as freshmen. And we've got great coaches at the lower levels of our program that work hard to develop kids. And by the time they get to me, we usually have a lot of pretty seasoned players that we... You know, my main thing as a coach, or what I feel is my main strength, is I've always put a lot of effort into trying to create like a good team culture and get our kids to buy into one another and really play hard. So that's usually my main goal. And this team this year has been really fun to be around so far. Obviously, it's a weird season, and we didn't really get to have the normal preseason, and we usually spend a lot of time doing off the field stuff and trying to get the team to kind of come together. And we weren't really able to do that this year, but the team has, I don't know, the energy feels a little bit different this year. Guys are really excited to be there, really excited for games. Even guys who aren't getting much playing time are really invested in the game on the bench. So it's been a fun group to be around so far this year.
What would you attribute that energy to, Jake?
I think mostly we just have some seniors who are kind of, I think in the first place, everyone's very excited to be playing. So I think that helps. Like, everyone's been starved for competition, and there was the uncertainty throughout the summer about what was going to happen. So I think before we even showed up on day one, or before we even picked a team after tryouts, like, everyone was just psyched to be there in the first place. So I think that helps. But we have a couple of seniors on our team who have just kind of, like, taken it upon themselves to, you know, frequently be communicating at practice and before games, and just, like, showing up with the type of confidence that we need, and, like, reaching out to our younger players, whether they're freshmen, sophomores, or even juniors who it's their first year on the team, and just kind of, like, encouraging them, hyping them up, making sure everyone's feeling good and feeling excited and happy to be there.
And so, Jake, the big headline win for you guys so far this season is obviously the win over CVU, snapping their 37-game winning streak. What kind of confidence did that give your group to kind of come up with that big win over the perennial top team in Division I the last 2 years? I guess, how are you guys going to build off that win going forward?
Yeah, I think, first off, before I even answer the question, we got to tip our hat to CVU and what they were able to accomplish the last couple of years. And, you know, it was a interesting spot for me to be as a coach, because I was trying to balance. I really did want to let our guys be excited. And, you know, it was a good accomplishment for them to go in and end that streak and win, especially in Hinesburg. But at the same time, it's the second game of a very young season. CVU's got a new group. We've got a new group. So I was trying to find that balance as a coach between, like, letting my kids really enjoy it and appreciate it and feel proud of themselves, while also letting them know, like, look, we don't need to get ahead of ourselves, and this does not for 1 second mean CVU is not going to be there and be competitive at the end. So I was kind of trying to strike that balance after that game, and I kind of ended up just, like, letting our kids really, really enjoy it on that Saturday and that Sunday, and then on Monday to start practice, it was kind of like, all right, we need to move on. That's over with. Great job. Let's move on. And we've got Colchester and MMU coming up this week. And, you know, we had a good week. We were able to win both of those games. So we've been able to keep it rolling. But it was definitely a cool accomplishment to be able to go in there and end the streak. And I think most of our kids, no kid on our team had ever beat CVU at the varsity level. So that was something they were motivated to do. And, you know, CVU is such a good program historically, but especially the last few years, that anytime you can play them and make it a good competitive game, that says something good about your team. So I think our kids felt like we had a good team and a strong team and a chance to, you know, get off to a good start this season. But you still kind of need something to go your way before you really start believing that. And I think, as you said, I think Saturday was a boost for us, where our kids kind of were able to take that result and maybe not get too far ahead of themselves, hopefully, with it, but at least kind of confirm, like, okay, we're here. We can play with these teams.
Jake, we're talking to Jake Orr, the Essex High School boys soccer coach, here on 101.3 The Game Sports Saturday. Jake, I'm curious if, you know, I think we're halfway through the season, right?
Yeah, we have a 7-game regular season, and we've played 4.
Okay, so I was thinking more week-wise. We're 2 weeks into what I think was supposed to be a 4-week regular season.
Yes,
and correct. I'm curious, for you, does that lack of time make your job harder or simpler? Like, you don't have enough time to worry about stuff, or you don't have enough time to think about stuff?
Yeah, it's been interesting with the different setup of the season. There have been, I guess, with many things throughout this whole past 6 months, there you try to find some silver lining, or there are some things like, oh man, maybe after this is all over, we will keep doing things this way, or, oh man, I really miss doing this. One of the challenges, I think, with the shortened season and playing less games is trying to, like, develop your team and your program and the guys on your bench and stuff like that. Like, usually you have the 14-game season, and I always kind of treat the first half of the season like I'll play more guys and we'll try a lot of different things. And we're playing, like, non-league games. And traditionally, at least for us, some of those games don't end up being, like, those one-goal games where you're really grinding it out. So that's been a challenge for me so far this year, I think, as a coach, is like we jumped right into the Metro schedule. We're playing all these one-goal games where, you know, I think we only played 14 kids in our game yesterday. And that's not something I'm used to in the third or fourth game of the season, not being able to go like 18 or 19 deep into my bench. So that's definitely been one major difference that I've noticed with the shortened season. As far as if it makes things easier or harder, I definitely think, the shorter season, like, I think everybody's got a little more energy and will be able to sustain that momentum and energy throughout the season. Normally you start mid-August and there's kind of a lull in the season. Everyone's fired up and excited for, like, the first six games. Then there's like a 2 or 3 week stretch where you're just kind of looking forward to the playoff run. And that certainly is not going to happen this year because it's just been such a sprint. And it'll be, I told my kids yesterday before the game, and especially I try to remind seniors just to enjoy the experience and have fun with it, because I told them, even if things go as well as they possibly could, we're done in less than a month. So it's crazy saying that after it feels like we kind of just got started.
Well, and Jake, with those 2 weeks left to go in this regular season, what are you guys kind of looking to do as you finish up these last few games and get set for the playoffs?
Yeah, I think we're just trying to keep our momentum going. We actually have, like, we play on Monday and Saturday next week, so that leaves us a lot of time in the middle of the week to get some training sessions in and really work on things, because at least for the past couple weeks, it feels like we've been going game, practice, game, practice, game, practice, and not really being able to have a ton of time to train or really work on the details and stuff like that. So that should be helpful, because in the next 2 weeks, we only play three times, and it's on a Monday, a Saturday, and then the following Friday. So we have a couple long breaks in there, which I think will be nice for allowing guys to stay healthy and getting some extra time to practice together.
It is, before we get out, Jake, is that surplus of time off going to give you a chance to get out back on the golf course?
I'll be out there in about an hour and a half.
Oh, there we go.
But I don't. Now, me playing golf on a weekday is not going to be a thing. Obviously, with soccer and with the additional challenges that are coming with being a teacher this fall, I've been getting some Sunday morning rounds in, but that's it.
Okay. Well, enjoy the day out there. It looks like it's going to be a spectacular one. So we'll let you get ready for your round, and thanks for joining us, Jake.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Have a good day, guys.
That's Jake Hoare, Essex High School boys soccer coach. I know from knowing Jake in both golf and soccer capacities, his season generally goes very abruptly from golf almost every day to soccer every day. and it gets tough during season to get any sort of golf time in. And also as a teacher at Essex High School, and I knowing folks in education, this school year especially
–
Has been demanding and sort of draining, and there's a lot of other things going into it, as folks know. So at any time folks in the education industry can unwind a little bit and enjoy something else, you got to hand it to them. But yeah, they, from what I saw of last week's game in Hinesburg, Essex looks like a real contender. They were toe-to-toe with CVU. CVU didn't look like they were that far off of their peak, and Essex was right there with them, playing some really positive, attractive soccer, some smart soccer, pretty resolute. And it looked like two teams that could be, meeting, in November at some point too.
Well, and I feel like we've had a lot of that, in the boys, especially in the boys soccer realm. A lot of tight, close games. Even if CBU lost to Essex, there was a who did they lose beat in overtime?
Oh God, the Colchester. They beat. Yeah. They scored three times in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
To equalize in the last 90 seconds of regulation and then win with like 30 some seconds elapsed in overtime was really incredible.
Yeah, so it's shaping up to be a very competitive postseason for Division I boys soccer.
It's been crazy competitive regular season, as Jake said, where teams are just parachuting into the meat of their schedule. And for these Chittenden County teams that duke it out in the Metro, that's let's play all of our toughest games and then go straight to the playoffs with really no warm-ups or, you know, any lighter games. But it does. You know, you're not going to see any bad games out there, really.
No. You're even seeing it in some of the sports. I was surprised with the field hockey and I've completely had a mind blank right there.
Wow.
Oh boy.
Wow, you got to regroup. A good thing we got a break coming right now.
Oh my gosh.
And when we come back,
where's the caffeine?
When we come back, we'll be picking some NFL games here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. Don't
Field
go anywhere.
Phone lines are now open. Call 802-655-6672. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
We are back on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. Show's flying by per usual. It's Austin Danforth here with Lauren Reed and Aaron Wells on the board. Just got done talking to Essex High School boys soccer coach Jake Orr. His team's 4-0, already halfway through the season. Only three games to go for the Hornets. They've impressed already. And what's going to be a crazy dash for the playoffs here when they begin in a couple weeks. Along with, girls soccer, field hockey, and, I think
football.
That's it. Football. Well, football's happening.
Well, they're not doing
postseason. So.
But that's where I was trying to go in the last, and I completely forgot about football.
That's okay.
Ugh.
I forgive you. Maybe Jeff will forgive you after these picks.
I don't know if I forgive myself.
It is now time for NFL picks.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God, I love the music, though. I love this music bed.
Any excuse to play the NFL Films music,
please.
I always do it. Every time.
It's always good.
You guys are so weird.
Week 5 NFL matchups and odds and all that good stuff. We're making our picks. The Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons, -1.5.
Oh, boy.
How this starts off awful.
All right. Okay. Falcons. I don't know. Are the Falcons back? I don't think they're back.
I don't think they're back, but Carolina's not good.
They just beat the Cardinals, who've been pretty good. I'm going Panthers.
Ooh, I don't know. Now it's making me second. I'm gonna go Falcons.
Okay, you're putting
I'm putting
your faith in Matty Ice.
I'm putting Jeff Paul's number one spot in jeopardy here.
I've got the Panthers as well. I think because they've got the 1.5 points, and
I'm really putting it in jeopardy here. Okay. Sorry, Jeff.
The Falcons are, to put it nicely, doo-doo. And, I mean, the Panthers are not by any means a studly team.
Oh, wait. No, I'm changing my pick.
Too late.
Nope. It's Carolina. I'm going Carolina, too.
All right. Well, unanimous
as
Carolina.
As the guy picking against Jeff, I really don't like you going back on your pick after we both make our picks.
Oh, no. I wasn't because of you guys. It's because I looked at the standings.
Okay. Sure.
Thought about it a little more.
From here on out, once you make your pick, your pick is set.
I get one mulligan.
That's your mulligan.
That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair.
That's fair.
Who didn't get a mulligan this week? Tom Brady. What down is it anyway? I don't know.
Oh, man.
You didn't know either.
That was so funny.
That was tough.
I can't believe we got this far without talking about it.
I didn't think Tom Brady would ever have a J.R. Smith moment, but he did.
It was so funny.
To be fair, he was playing hurry up. With an offensive line that was playing like trash.
Nope. No excuses, Tom.
L.A. Rams at Washington, +7.5.
Wait, did we miss Kansas City?
Oh, we did miss Kansas City.
Oh, we did.
City.
Yeah, no.
Don't we all just go Kansas City and just not even
process?
It's
the loss in the loss, I think, is what got me. Las Vegas Raiders at Kansas City Chiefs, -12. Whew. That is a line.
I mean, I'm going Kansas City. Yeah.
Still got to go Kansas City.
Yeah, it's Chiefs. It's Chiefs.
They are nasty this year, just like last year.
That's a line.
Well, but we were talking earlier. I mean, you're watching them play the Patriots, and you know Kansas City could score 21 points as quick as anybody. We're talking less than half a quarter. They can put up, three touchdowns, and sure enough, they did. So,
yeah.
I like them.
Against a Raiders offensive or defensive line that's not going to do anything to threaten the run game, which will allow Pat Mahomes to get in a passing rhythm. I think Kansas City is going to give them a pretty good beatdown. The Raiders, I think, are better than people maybe think they are, but that defense is not stopping that Kansas City offense.
Yeah.
Now, except the Patriots.
No, it just caused me. Okay, so we all picked Kansas City.
Yes.
For a second, I was like, did we all make our picks?
Yeah.
Rams at Washington +7.5.
Okay, what did the Rams do last week? Rams fan Ralph, where is he when
they
need him?
Beat the Giants.
Yeah.
Who hasn't? Am I supposed to give them some brownie points for that? I don't know.
I mean, they're playing the NFC East, so I feel like that should just be a blanket.
I'm going to give. Okay. Washington, you're getting 7.5 at home. I'm going to take you. I'm doing it.
I'm going Rams.
I'm also going Washington. The Rams beat the Giants last week, but it wasn't by the 13.5. It wasn't even that close. It was by, I think, 8.
8, yeah.
Now they're
flying cross country.
Washington just benched their quarterback.
Okay. I'm still going Washington.
Just let you know.
We've made our picks.
It's too late.
You're throwing this info
switch.
Out here
I'm
afterward.
I'm giving you opportunity to.
It's too late.
Oh.
For me. Jacksonville Jaguars at Houston Texans -5.
Oh, boy.
I think the Texans burned me last week.
It's a 1-3 team, which is against an 0-4 team.
Okay. I'll go with the team that's got the win. Yeah.
And
Texans.
They get the points, right? Sorry.
No. Texans given 5.
All right. I'm going Jacksonville.
I've got the Texans. Jacksonville doesn't do it for me.
It's not adding up for them.
The Texans
losing to the
just
Bengals?
Fired their coach. Right? Am I remembering that correctly? Didn't they just fire their coach?
Are you in a fever dream?
I might be.
Houston fired their coach.
Okay,
Okay. Bill O'Brien.
New coach confidence.
He's on the market.
Let's go.
So that could be, Okay, Jacksonville.
All right, Arizona Cardinals at New York Jets +7.
Arizona.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. I don't think I'll pick the Jets once this year, to be honest.
I don't know how both the Giants and the Jets are this bad. Is there some kind of curse on... Oh, my God. It's bad.
Must be a curse on Jersey teams, because the one real New York team is...
It's been great.
True. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Philadelphia Eagles at the Pittsburgh Steelers -7.
The battle for Pennsylvania. I'm going Steelers.
Steelers.
I've got the Steelers as well.
Philly's, it's the NFC East, man. I'm not picking any of those teams.
Philly's got some stuff to figure out. They've got some stuff to figure out. Pittsburgh's pretty good.
Can we talk, though, about how they're technically the top team in the NFC East right now?
The Eagles? Yeah. Yep. Well, 1-2-1, leading that division.
And they got their first win last week against the 49ers.
That is crazy.
Depleted 49ers and still, but like, yeah, I'm...
But like we discussed last week, if there was one team that could survive being depleted like that, it's the Niners, and they still beat them. So maybe Philly's starting to figure it out, but I think they still have got some stuff to figure out.
Yeah.
Cincinnati Bengals at Baltimore Ravens -13.5.
This is a yucky line.
I'm just going to
call it like it is. The Bengals finally win a game, but they got to play the Ravens, and the Ravens are giving up 2 touchdowns.
The Ravens quarterback's questionable, I think.
I'll go. You know what? I'm going against the grain. Bengals getting 13.5 points is so many points.
So many points. And if you don't have, I don't like this one.
You got to pick it. Pull the Band-Aid off.
Baltimore. Just because you're picking Cincinnati.
Okay.
One of us is going to be wrong.
Aaron, who are you siding with? Swing vote here.
I got Baltimore.
Oh,
that's a huge line, but they're so good. I hate those big lines. They kill me.
Joe Burrow, don't fail me now.
Yeah, this will be the week that he comes out and just, like, somehow upsets the Ravens, and I'm going to be a sad boy.
Yep. Sorry, Jeff.
Miami Dolphins at San Francisco 49ers -9.
Really?
-9?
After losing?
Ugh.
What?
That's great. Why are there so many bad teams in the NFL this
week? Dolphins. Dolphins.
I'm going Dolphins. I think the Niners probably win this one, but
yeah.
By 9, no.
I'm going San Francisco.
Denver.
I've gotten like week success confidence here, and I'm just throwing things out.
That happened to me, and I went 5-10.
Well, it's not my competition. Sorry, Jeff.
Aaron, look at me. We're playing smart money right now.
Big brain moves. Denver Broncos at New England Patriots -11.5. Another killer line.
I hate this line.
Yucky.
I do too.
Broncos. Yep. Like the Patriots with like maybe a practice and a half. And one of their two subpar backup quarterbacks at the moment, I'm not giving a full grade, but like they're early in their round of golf and they are not under par. And
another week
trouble.
Where they weren't able to practice all the way. So
yeah,
I'm going Broncos as well.
Yep,
I just can't.
I think New England wins. I don't think they win by a ton.
If they win by a touchdown, I'm a happy guy and I'm right. So there we go.
That's the next pick for me.
New York Giants at Dallas Cowboys -8.5.
I just don't see the Cowboys winning by that many points.
Do you see the Giants being able to put up enough points to keep up with the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, who's on pace to throw for a billion yards this year?
Well, they gave...
Against that defense?
They might. Cleveland like 49 points. So.
Yeah, the Browns did almost put up a 50-burger on them.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys win. This is the third pick in a row I've said this. I don't think they win by the points. I think they win by like 7, maybe.
Yeah,
I'm going boys.
I'm going Giants.
I'm going to go Giants. I'm sorry.
Hear that, Jeff Paul and Alex Abrami? I'm going boys.
If that line was a little bit nicer, I mean, obviously.
If it was 7, I'd probably go Cowboys, but 8.5 seems too high.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad I'm on a. I feel like I'm on. I know what I'm doing.
Colts at Browns +1.
And now I don't.
So we've had some yucky lines, and that's just a silly line. You get 1 point.
Who's gonna win?
Colts.
Wait, I'm looking.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting till after your pick.
Oh goddamn. God darn. Oh, I don't know. You said Colts?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Browns.
You're going to have like 10 picks different than me, and it's going to be electric.
It's either going to go... If this goes well for me, I'm calling in next week.
It's not going to, but I'm going to. I don't know why, but I'm going with the Browns. It's a gut feeling.
This is a fever dream.
It's a gut feeling.
I feel like Cleveland's a play... They feel like they're getting better.
Yeah. I know... Dallas's defense has not been great this year, but they were electric on offense last week. I mean, 49 points, even against a bad defense, that's a good outing.
And you know, the biggest thing was Odell Beckham looked friggin' fantastic.
Hmm. Okay.
So
what's next?
I am justifying this pick.
All right. What's next? Minnesota Vikings at Seattle Seahawks -7.
I know the Vikings finally got a win last week, 31-23 over the Texans. Dalvin Cook looked nice. Things went well for them, but I don't think they're winning. I don't think they're getting within 7 at Seattle, so I'm going Seahawks.
Seahawks.
It's the Hawks in their house. I've got the Hawks as well. Los Angeles Chargers at New Orleans Saints -7.5.
This is another one of those I don't like the line, but the Saints are going to win.
Gosh, this is tough. Saints at home.
Uh-oh, a friend of mine who's a Cleveland Browns fan just texted me. I don't know if I want to read this text.
Aaron's stroking his would-be beard.
I've got the Chargers.
Okay.
I think they stay inside the points. I don't think they win, but I think that they win. They lose by less than 7.5.
This is an interesting week.
And that's it, because...
Nope. Well, that depends. Do you want to go pick them with the Bills?
Because they might play, but they might not.
They are off the board. They do not have a line, but if we could go pick them, and if they don't play, we just scratch it.
Okay, I'll take the Bills.
Yeah,
Bills.
Me too. I just like picking the Bills.
It's an extra little win for everybody if they play.
Yep. Those are our picks.
Oh boy. This could be the week where Jeff Lauren is just cursing my name.
She's flexing and hoping if it goes well, she's getting some pizzas delivered.
I'm definitely calling and I'm going to rub it in your guys' faces because you were doubting me. If this goes poorly, though, I'm going to
I'm not
hide.
Doubting. Like, we can't doubt you. Like, you had a great first week. We just see if you got lightning in a bottle or if you're still drinking off that bottle.
Yeah, or if I'm just really, really bad at this or really, really good at this.
I'm right around 500, so I really don't know what's going on this season.
Yeah,
so, I'm not bragging.
The problem is all, most of these teams, there's not a lot of really good teams. So they're like, you're getting these big lines with two teams who are really not that separated from each other.
Yeah.
So why are the lines so big? What does Vegas know?
For folks that aren't keeping score at home, through 4 weeks, Aaron and I are both at 31-29, and Jeff/Lauren is 33-27. Jeff had a nice week last week, bounced back, grabbed the lead a little bit, but I think to our credit, we can all put our hands up, pat ourselves on the back. We're all above 500. We're in the black. It's a good place to be.
For now.
yeah, it's only week 5.
And yeah, so now we got to live with those picks. And
there was a moment 2 weeks ago when I made those picks and I had gone against the Giants, as Jeff would not have. And the Giants were closed for like the first quarter. And I'm like, oh God, is this the week where he should have picked the Giants? And then they got blown out. So no, it was fine.
At this moment, you are Jeff Paul's better angel on his shoulder when it comes to all things Giants.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, though, I did pick the Giants. So we'll see how this goes.
Okay. Well, anyway, when we come back, it'll be Hot or Not time here on 101.3 The Game. Show's flying by. It's almost lunchtime, but we got the Hot or Not takes coming first. When we come back after this.
You better crank up that AC because Sports Saturday is about to bring the heat. It's Hot or Not on 101.3 The Game.
Right on cue, I think the studio just started pumping AC without anybody touching anything.
Yeah, it's kind of actually a little cold.
It just got chilly in here, which is great because it's about to get hot. Hot or Not, Aaron, sponsored by Superb Cupcakes, right?
Yes, sir. Brought to you by Superb Cupcakes, and they are open for curbside pickup. Their available flavors are posted on their Facebook page daily and in their Instagram page, actually. I hope they have some good pictures on the Instagram page. Oh. Call them today at 802-871-5941 and place your order for contact-free pickup. Thank goodness Jeff isn't here to give specific descriptions because I'm starving.
If we had power rankings of the most mouth-watering sponsors in Vermont radio, Superb Cupcakes would be very high in those power rankings.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm really hungry and now all I want is cupcakes. Not a healthy choice.
Are you going to satisfy that urge today, Lauren?
No. Because I actually have plans.
You're so
after
strong.
This, so I can't go to Williston.
You're so strong.
The only reason is because I can't go to Williston for no reason.
All right, Aaron, what do we got today?
All right, on one last Superb Cupcakes note, just thinking if they
did you look?
I was imagining them making an apple cider.
They definitely
cupcake.
Have some kind of apple cinnamon one. I saw it the other day.
That's man, I might have to go over there. All right,
48 minutes to go today. I'm doing it. Pumpkin cheesecake.
Oh
my God.
It looks bonkers.
Oh my God. Well,
looks like a pumpkin cupcake, cream cheese frosting, and some sort of probably pumpkin spice maple drizzle on top. For folks listening. So keep the car on the road. And if you need a cupcake, you know where to find them. Superb Cupcakes in Williston.
Oh, you're killing me. The Titans should have to forfeit their game against Buffalo because this is the second time they've had positive cases, and Buffalo's got a Thursday night game coming up.
When you spell it out like that, I think there should be a protocol in place to penalize teams that can't get it right because you are just hurting the teams you're playing. It's even if you hurt yourself a little bit too, because now the NFL has to figure out a way to make it right for the the Bills. Like, they can't play Monday, Thursday, or
nope.
Tuesday, Thursday. Like,
nope.
That's...
No.
We're not even making 7-on-7 non-contact teams play. Like, this is... That's untenable. They absolutely... Whether it's second time or third time, there should be severe penalties for the teams that can't get it right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know there's CBA issues because if the Bills players don't play, I don't think they get paid. And I mean, the Tennessee Titans players wouldn't get paid either. But I feel like at some point you have to make a stand. And if that stand is Tennessee Titans are forfeiting the game, maybe that sends a bit of a wake-up call to both the Titans and the rest of the league that we have got to start cracking down on this.
Yeah.
So I'd say hot.
Amen to that.
Coaches and staff rely on wins for their jobs, so the threat of a loss is probably the strongest motivator you could give them.
Yeah, like if being on the field each week is what gets you paid, whether you're a coach or a player, like if you take away that livelihood, that's a wake-up call.
Well, and if the NFL is hell-bent on maintaining the schedule, then the easiest way would be to remove this game from the schedule and then kind of kickstarts next week. The Bills play on Thursday. They get all this time to prepare for the Kansas City Chiefs. We're good to go.
That would be a dynamite game if the Bills got extra time to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a good game either way.
Yeah.
And I think it would be even better if the Bills get a little bit of extra time.
Yeah, I would hate to see that game messed up because it had to be rescheduled and both teams had to figure stuff out for that.
Right. Like right now, both those quarterbacks are basically the two most exciting quarterbacks in football.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's honestly probably a better matchup than Patriots-Chiefs right now, but just because the Patriots ended up being kind of hamstrung with Cam Newton now.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So.
The Heat will force a game 7 tomorrow.
How much more does Jimmy Butler have in the tank?
I don't know. Like, honestly, the Lakers, they messed up a couple times towards the end of that game. They probably should have won either way. So,
I'll go not. Like, I think that's a lot to ask against a team with as much star power as the Lakers. You know, when you have two guys that are, like, among the five best players in the game, one can have a bad night and you still have one of the five best players in the game. So I don't care if Miami has Jimmy Butler playing at that level, too. You're doing it against a team that has two of those guys that, you know, can play both ends of the court as well as they do.
When Miami's big guy is still playing hurt, and so how much more can you get out of him, too? I don't remember. I can't pronounce his last name.
Bam Adebayo.
Adebayo, thank
and
you.
There was a funny Twitter exchange last night. My boy Alex Abrami from the Free Press responding to former Sports Illustrated writer Tim Layden, who's a Williams grad. Williams, of course, where Duncan Robinson, one of Miami's three-point specialists, went to college before going to Michigan. And Tim Layden says, Duncan Robinson had 26 points and 7 threes. Somewhere, guys from Colby and Middlebury are drinking hazy IPAs, saying, I shut that guy down all night. And Alex, he responded to Tim Layden, averaged 11 points and made just 3 threes in 2 games versus Middlebury. Only took 15 shots, and he shouted out former Missisquoi and Middlebury star Matt St. Amour.
That's a really cool story.
Yeah.
It is a cool story. I kind of would like to see them do it, to push it to 7, just because the story of the Heat is actually really fun. They're pulling this off somehow, and it's kind of fun to watch, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah. I would love to see it as well. I think they're a cool story as a team, a very gritty team. They've done some really great stuff this year, but I don't see it happening. It took 47 minutes from Jimmy Butler, and a little, actually. Technically speaking, he was out of the game for less than a minute from what I read. And he looked like he was visibly in pain leaving his press conference after the game, and he only gets one day of rest. He can't do that again, I would suspect. And even if he does, it still took a missed wide open three from Danny Green to keep that game from going to overtime. The Lakers, I think, have this one, and the Heat, I would say, are running on fumes.
Mm. Okay.
But it would be a great game 7 in theory if they got Miami's best punch.
When we get a game 7, is it bad ever?
No.
I mean, like,
well,
you can get poor games, but like the fact that the chance to have a game 7 is a gift.
Yeah.
And they're just equalizers. I mean, I would give Miami as good a chance in a game 7 as I was good to give the Lakers, because it's a game 7, you never know.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to get there.
Cam Newton will start for the Patriots against Denver. This is technically still a possibility, but he's not practicing today. And he hasn't had any time all week. He's coming off of COVID.
I wouldn't even if he's available, I don't know if I would start him.
I think if he's clear, you play. Because it's not like Stidham or Hoyer have had any significantly more time to get, you know, up to speed this week than Cam Newton has. So, like, if you're going to take, you know, guys that don't have, that are going to be rusty either way, take your best guy.
Yeah, I mean, at least Hoyer or Stidham will have some reps. Cam Newton will have none. And I don't know, after essentially two weeks off completely, you want to toss him into a game.
He'll be fresh.
He would be fresh. I don't know.
I believe the Patriots are currently rolling as though Stidham will be the starter. I think they continue to do that. And then if you find out Drew Lock is going to be able to play for the Broncos, maybe you consider giving Cam the start, but you don't want to drop a game to Denver here and then find yourself behind. I don't think they will, though. I don't think Cam will play.
I don't think he plays either.
Okay.
I don't think he'll get cleared. If he's not practicing today, then there's something holding him back from practicing. If he was still testing negative, I think they'd let him be on the field.
Yeah. This is a
also,
fun...
Also,
what?
Total aside, MMU Colchester Girls Soccer headed to OT.
So we won't hear from Jeff Paul here in the next 10 minutes.
Nope.
Dang. The Celtics should sign Isaiah Thomas again. I saw this on Nesson. Kind of interesting. Bench scoring is something they've been missing. He's looking for a team. He should be a pretty cheap option. What do you think?
I like that idea.
I have no idea who Isaiah Thomas is.
He's a little guy, 5'8".
Nothing. I don't watch the NBA.
Played big minutes, scored a lot
of
points three, 4 years ago.
So, sure. Yay.
He was a star on the Celtics a few years ago.
Lightning rod, then got hurt, got traded, you know, went elsewhere. I think that'd be a great pickup. He knows the system, probably knows still several of the guys on the team.
Didn't he kind of leave Boston in a huff, though? Like, wasn't there some bad blood going on? So would he even come?
They offloaded him, right?
So it's not bad blood from his direction, from what I've seen. But there are fans who feel like the Celtics did him dirty because he played through an injury after the death of his sister and they still let him go.
Oh. Would he even want to come back?
Well, I haven't, from what I've seen, there's not really any resentment from his camp. If there is, he's hiding it. But regardless, I think he would happily take a half decent contract and they would happily take a cheap scorer off the bench. So I could see it. And I would enjoy it.
A good backup for Kemba?
Yep.
Like I think that there's a lot to like there. There's a lot to like there.
Specifically scoring. They've got a lot of young guys who are still figuring out how to put points on the board in the NBA, whether they play good defense or move the ball well or whatever. Not a lot of guys off that bench who are immediate scoring threats.
Look at me having an opinion of a player I've never watched play.
Woo!
I'd slow clap, but I don't know if it would go across the radio very well. What's next?
I think that's Hot or Not.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay, that's Hot or Not, folks.
Hot or Not.
Brought to you by Superb Cupcakes. Oh, man.
We need to stop bringing up cupcakes.
I wasn't trying to trigger you there, but you know when we get to the last 20 minutes of the show, it's cupcake talk.
That's true.
And
I've got to become better prepared for this. Maybe I should just bring a cupcake next time.
Like after that's what I'm saying. Like prepare yourself.
Just bring a whole thing of cupcakes.
Yeah.
Well, I could do that.
There's two other people in the room here.
All right. Next time you text me late on a Thursday saying, "Hey, do you want to do the show?" I'll remember this conversation.
Okay. Thank you.
And I may or may not get you cupcakes.
Okay. I pay you back.
Mm.
I would. I could.
You could.
I actually have cash on me right now. That never happened. That's exciting. Where do I spend it? Yeah. I can't wait to go back outside. It's delightful.
It's really nice out, actually.
Like this week was okay, kind of a mixed bag. It's getting colder, but this looks like it might be one of the last times we see 70 degrees on the thermometer
and sun
in 2020. Yeah. So
some nice sun.
Anyway, if you're outside or on your way, enjoy it. If you're sticking with us, we're going to put a bow on the show after this when we come back on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
I hate to say it, but the show is almost over. But before we go, we'll get the Brass Monkeys bumping and get you ready for your sports weekend. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Oh, Oh, boy. Clock's winding down here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. Lauren?
Hello.
It's been fun as always.
Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have you join us.
Though I feel like if I keep coming back, I'm going to start charging like a guest appearance fee.
I think we might need to work something out.
And I might have to be in cupcakes. Or pizza.
I think we can. I think we know the right people to talk to there.
We might know a guy for the pizza.
I think we could work something out there.
We may have some connection for cupcakes.
Speaking of the guy we know about the pizza that can do the thing with the thing, his Lakers and the Cougars of Mount Mansfield were scoreless after 80 minutes in Lakerland. So both those teams are hunting the game winner in extra time. As we speak, otherwise we'd figured we might be able to talk to Jeff, get the update on the game. He could give me the details for the free press, upload that to the website.
Two birds with one stone.
Yeah, actually, they tough week for them. I think they played Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, or Tuesday, Friday, Saturday. Anyway, they played last night and then had to turn around and play at 10 a.m. today. That's no easy feat.
That's quick.
But anyway. Folks looking to watch some football this weekend, the Patriots are going to be Monday. That's a Monday, like late matinee, early evening, right, Aaron?
Yep, 5 o'clock.
Okay, yeah, that's such a weird time for a football game anyway, yep. Let alone on Monday.
Well, I'm sure ESPN complained about
that's what
after
it was.
Last
But week. If you want to do it, you can tune in here on 101.3 The Game. The coverage there starts before kickoff for sure. I don't see it on the board yet, but...
It's 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock coverage starts. Game at 5. I don't know. What? Oh, Green City Garage poll question. I am actually very curious what people think.
So the Green City Garage poll question for this week: will we see Vermont high school basketball this winter? 73.7% said no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, I think we're leaning in that direction. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I think so too. I kind of thought there might have been a little more optimism there on Twitter, but
I
obviously
think
not.
Some of the fall sports not being inside when they normally would be is probably giving people the indication that they don't have a plan for that.
Well, and volleyball is not as close contact as basketball, so
yep.
And they can't play basketball outside in the winter.
Agreed. Yeah, so we're going to find out more about that. I think by the end of the month, state officials said this week. You can read about that on the BurlingtonFreePress.com. And I don't know. Before we get out here, I mean, what do you guys got planned for the rest of the day?
I'm going to, speaking of vintage shopping, going to like a little vintage pop up with some friends. Maybe making some soup later.
Right on.
Yeah.
A fall flavored soup?
Yes, like a tortellini carrot kind of combo.
Oh, okay.
Look at potatoes, I think, too.
Sounds
like
delightful.
Very, very hearty type.
Sounds delightful. Aaron, what do you got on tap?
I'm headed out to Castleton to visit a friend.
That's my hometown.
Yeah?
That's my neck of the woods.
Nice.
Say hello to Lake Bombazine as you drive south there on Route 30. You can wave. It'll be waving back for about 6 miles. I'll be headed to Mount Mansfield for some football today. Cougars, they kick off at 1. And I believe when I looked at the schedule last night, it's a busy day of high school sports, some of which is already underway, as we said. So it's been a good show. Lauren, again, thank you so much for joining us. Aaron, great as always. We'll be here next week, Sports Saturday.